You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Tonight, our guest isn't just in the business of training. She is really in the business of becoming. UBrenda Busangabanye founded ESD Corporation not because she loved PowerPoint slides, but because she believed in one truth. That one truth being that when we develop the skills, we develop the future. In a world where many speak of capacity building and declarations, Brenda quietly builds a company that stands for effective skills, not just training for appearance, but training for impact. Her journey is one of relentless learning, courageous pivoting, and deep commitment. She's seen the promise of entrepreneurship, faced its failures, and climbed out on the other side. Tonight, she shares those lessons, those scars, those victories. So listeners, lean in, because when Brenda speaks, you are going to hear more than business strategy. You will hear a legacy in the making. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mbumi. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
I'm great. I'm great.
I'm always curious when people start businesses about what their dreams of a career was. I don't think, and maybe you hear little boys say it, right? I want to be a businessman. But for a lot of girls, it's normally very orthodox, very traditional. Did you ever dream of being a businesswoman?
No, it wasn't part of my plans. I wanted to be an auditor. I wanted to be an accountant. But what was in my mind when I was growing up? But as I grew, that's when I discovered, no, there's another part of me that is into teaching, rather, or like making people learn more, something like that.
And did you pursue accountancy?
Yes, I did my accountancy, but I never even practiced it any single day. I never did that.
Yeah. So what did you do after school then?
I tried working and all those things, but I think I just had a passion for marketing. And yeah, I think that's where my passion was, really. But even like when I'm in the training industry, what I train most, funny enough, is in the accounting field and the auditing field. So we are mainly on the risk, the updates, and all those things. So it's there in the system. Even if you try to run away from it, it just comes back somehow.
You know why I'm saying, of course, because I trained as a mining engineer and didn't really practice for longer than a year. But I started my own consultancy. And can you imagine, or can you guess who most of my clients are?
The mining industry.
The mining space. The mining space.
No, I so think it just follows it, you. It will be there somewhere. Even if we try to run away from it, it comes, though, in a space where we are not doing the hard work.
So tell me, before you ever founded ESD Corporation, what did you believe about skills development? Because I think there must have been somewhat of a belief, apart from a passion that you had for teaching and making things make sense. What did you believe about skills development particularly? And how did that reality change or affirm that belief?
Really, it was never something that was never in my mind. It was something that I never actually even thought one day, even in my dreams, it's something that was not even, there. But I think because of being in the industry, because I worked before for a training company. And when I was working there, that's when I saw my potential. And I was like, oh, so I can do this.
I love that. I love that. And what lessons did you take from the company that helped you to establish your own? What do you believe is similar or an assimilation of what you learned? And what new things did you introduce into your own establishment?
What I learned was to take care of the customers. our clients, to know that our clients are the biggest, and we are not what we want to be, or we are because of them. So that was one thing that I took out from there. There were so many errors that I saw when I was there, and that when I then moved, I had to make sure that I take good care of my customers. I always that I'm always on the good books with them, giving them what they need, making sure that whatever I give them is relevant, not just because it's a financial benefit or what, but something that is beneficial to their organizations and for them as well, that they grow, because it's not every time that you have to go back to school. There's some things like updates. You can just get your update from going to a training, because at school they would not offer you that. So I tried to make sure that I give relevant programs.
Do you still do the training, or are you just leading the institution now?
Now I'm more on the leading.
Yeah.
And I can get someone who is qualified if there's need, someone who is more qualified, or someone who is good in the department, because some of them, they'll be like me. Someone would be like working and a finance manager somewhere, but good in risk. So I then say, come, and I've got something that I want to do for risk. May you come, may you help me to do the program.
And the reason I ask that is because I'm very curious about what the defining moment for you was when you knew that it was time to move from doing training to leading an institution that shapes training for others. What was that defining moment for you?
It was a time when I was working for someone before. And we had some disagreements because of the way he was doing things at the time. So he then had to leave and go to South Africa, and then we were left. And I did not know what to do. And I was sitting and wondering, what am I going to do? And then it only took one client. Because when this guy went to South Africa, he tried to do training from South Africa. So he was sending people his programs and everything. And then he sent the program to our clients. And then there's one client who recognized his name. And then he calls me and he says, Brenda, there's a program. Where is your former boss? Are you still with him, or he's now in the past? And I was like, no, I don't work for him. I'm not working these days. And he was like, let me send you something and look at it. And we want this program so bad, but we are not going to go another route. We want you to do the program for us. That's how ESD was formed, because I think I had talked to them before. I had talked to them very well, or they, I don't know what they saw, but they saw potential in me, actually. And they're like, we are not going to do this program with anyone else. So just put your house in order. Just look for papers and make sure that we will hold the papers, and we were not going to attend till you do the program.
Brenda, that screams so, favor and grace to me.
Yes, that was favor and grace, because when I started, it was just work for me, something that I enjoyed doing. But I didn't realize the impact that I was having on people who were looking at me. And I didn't know that my blessing was actually going to come out from from there, from doing the things that I do. So eventually, I think it took about a month. And I was like, no, I think I'm ready. I've done my papers. And I think I can do the program now. And it was one of my best programs, actually, because I had a lot of delegation, because I had to go to all the clients that I ever had from my previous work.
Wow.
and they all came. I had a full house because of one client that saw the potential that I had.
Oh, man, that's such a beautiful story. And for someone who's sitting at home saying, this sounds like something I want to do, but I just want to be clear what exactly it is. What work do you do? How would you describe your work to somebody who is curious?
All right. So my work is more on the research side. Mm. So I have to research. I need to know what's needed. I need to know what updates have come up.
Yeah.
I need to, so it's more on the research side. So you need to have ears everywhere. If I need something, I've got people that I can call and ask to, like, and say, what is happening now? Mm. What's needed? Or the facilitators that I usually work with, I just go to them and say, what's new? Mm. So basically, it's knowing what's happening in the world, the changes that are happening. Mm. And then when you know, you sit down, you come up with a program. Mm. That, okay, at this moment, we are doing sustainability reporting. What's needed on the sustainability reporting? Mm. So you do your research. And then when you are done and clear, you can actually go and ask those that are in the know better. I have come up with something like this. Is it okay? Mm. Then they can say, no, it's okay. Or you need to add this and remove that. Mm. And then when I am done with that, I come up with my brochure. Mm. And then I start sending it out to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a matter of having a good client base. Mm. And knowing what's happening and knowing who needs what at what time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Didn't you find it difficult to penetrate corporations? Because corporates normally have in-house training business units or departments. So did you not find it hard to penetrate those markets, given that you were an independent service provider?
I will answer that two ways.
Okay.
You know, I always had people who asked me, who are you?
Mm.
Because you get into offices that we can't even get into.
Yeah, Brenda, yes.
I have had that so many times. There was one company, actually, where even the workers would find it hard to go and see their finance director.
Mm.
Like, they were so scared to go there because that's how the guy was not approachable.
Mm.
But I would go right straight to his office.
Mm.
And tell, no, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want. Mm. And so forth. We look at it. No, these are good for, this is good for us. So I think we can do this.
Mm.
So that's the part, other part of answering it. You know, I don't know what pushed that. I think it's just favor when you go there and you know that, you know, this is God that I'm working with. So I'm able to get in anyway. So I would get in. I get into big companies where they would tell you, we've had some people who've been training us, but they'll be like, no, let's give you a try. Let's give you a try.
Yeah.
And then when they come, they see the offers, and the next thing, they're like, when is the next one?
Mm, that's so good.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's neither here nor there. It's okay. There are some places where it was hard to get in.
Yeah.
And there are still some new places that I am still trying to get in to date.
Mm. And, you know, the truth is, like you are saying, there are many organizations that do training. And to piggyback on the question of who are you, actually, how are you able to do this? But to ask it in a more, you know, polite way is what makes your approach stand out among the rest in your industry? What do you think your source is?
Oh, well, I think it's the work that we put in and the work that we deliver.
Mm.
And like I said earlier, that when we do something, we don't just do something just because it's there. We research and try and see that, is it relevant?
Mm.
and so forth. So we always stand out in that when we deliver. I'm not sorry to say that, but we always deliver the best.
Mm.
We can have people doing the same program.
Yeah.
But ours will be different somehow. Because someone might say, this time I want to go and try there.
Mm.
And then you hear a phone call coming through and then someone saying, you know what? I just wanted to comment that you guys do a great job. Because we tried to go somewhere else and we did not get what we get from you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, sometimes you can explain the technical stuff away, right? Like, we go the extra mile of doing this and that. But sometimes you just don't know what it is. It's just, again, favor. It's just, if something is for you, if something is your purpose, you're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And people who are attached to it are going to gravitate towards it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
ESD. Yeah. Effective skills development. What does that effective part mean for you practically? And how do you measure that in your work?
I think in the practicality of doing our things and the effectiveness that we bring forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think personally, that's what I would say because, yeah, we give it our all.
And you know what I appreciate about that response is that, so I'm a speaker, right? And I find that, so I obviously follow a lot of people who do moderations and panel discussions, who are facilitators. And sometimes, if we're being honest, a lot of events are just talk shops, right?
It's just people who've
got beautiful things to say and they exchange ideas and it's just, oh, did you hear that? And at times that makes me sad because then what do we actually achieve? What do we actually accomplish? So to hear you say that the effectiveness is really the practicality, that this is what we get to achieve or this is what we can do from this session and from this training, I think that makes all the difference.
Oh, yes, it does a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Tell us about or tell us the story behind the founding of ESD Corporations. How old is the business right now? What was the spark? What obstacle did you face at the beginning?
Okay. Yeah. I think I started, I think it was 2014.
Okay.
I think it's 2014. So making it 11 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been a journey of ups and downs.
Naturally.
And yes. And, you know, we had COVID that then came in. And there was that break of not doing anything.
Mm.
So when we then started after that, I think it was as good as starting the company all over again.
Mm.
Because you are reintroducing yourself to the industry. You are going to a place where there are people that you thought were still there, but they're not there anymore. So you're going to see a new person and you are starting all over again.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was the most challenging time coming back from COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, got you. And is there an obstacle that you did not think you were going to come back from and somehow it made you stronger as a business and perhaps even as a leader?
Being a woman in the industry that is filled with men can be challenging.
Mm.
At some point, because people don't take you serious because you're a woman.
Mm.
So it takes those that I would say that God says, whispers to them and says that you can try this one. You can try them. So, yeah, you get in there and you're expecting that it's all going to be easy. But you go to someone and says, no. You know, starting with your feminism, wanting to be at the top as women, all that kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And what was your key driving force behind becoming an entrepreneur in the space? Was it a gap that you observed? And you did say that there was a gap. What was the gap that you observed?
The gap that was there was, you know, you promised to deliver.
Mm.
And you do not deliver.
Mm.
people pay you and you are nowhere to be seen. So when I got in, that was my first mission, to make sure that when I say I am doing this training, it's happening.
Mm.
There is no way I'm going to say, no, I then fail to do it, or I have to start running away from people because they paid and I used their money and now I can't deliver the program and so forth. So when I got in, I made it a point that I will make sure that my programs happen so that I keep my clients and they believe in the work that I do, because I had to do damage control from my former workplace, because I took God to clients and I had to say, no, I'm really sorry. And some were like, no, we're not going to talk to you. I'm like, no, I was just an employee. You know, that kind of thing. Mm. So I had to make them believe once again that it's possible. And because of that, I had to make sure that it happens so that I leave a good name out there, so that when they see ESD, they're like, oh, no, it's these guys who deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely love that. It's because customer satisfaction and customer service goes such a long way. Sometimes it's not even that the service or the product is bad. It's just people feel like, if I'm going to be treated like this, then it's not worthy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Funding. Funding is always a hurdle. How did you raise funding for your business?
Well, my funding. You remember the client that I talked about that said, we are going to wait for you to be ready. So that our people can get trained.
Mm.
So what happened is, when I was done with doing the paperwork, making sure that my house in order, opened a bank account, I just went with my papers to them and said, okay, now the program is here and it's going to happen on such a day. So what's next? They were like, no, it's okay. Let's process a payment.
Mm.
For all our people. So when they processed the payment, it was enough to carry us through for a long time after that.
Mm.
So it came from a client. I did not have to hustle to look for it.
Mm. Oh, those are always the greatest stories, you know, because you hear people needing to bootstrap or to get loans. So to know that there was validation in your work from a client that paid, mm-hmm. and you were able to build on that validation is everything.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There was no loan. It was just that kind of a blessing where you start. Someone says, start this.
Mm.
You go on to start. And after that, they're the first ones to actually pay for that program.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So it was that thing that I felt like, just, this is God just giving, you know. He is just giving me, you know, those blessings that you don't even think you deserve them, or they are there on the way. Mm. Yeah.
Ah. Building a successful customer base. You mentioned customer base earlier in this space, and the training and skills development is different from a product-based business, right? So how do you build trust and reputation and repeat business in this field? Because one thing we don't talk about often in entrepreneurship is the repeat business is actually what keeps you in business. The people who paid you once paying you again. So how do you build that? How do you build a consistent customer base that trusts you, that believes in the work that you do and keeps coming back for more?
Like I said, when we do something, we make sure it's something that you need.
Mm.
So with that, I actually had one client, one of our biggest parastatals here in Zimbabwe. That person used to say, when they see my brochures or my flyers, when they come through to their office, he used to say, please give her what she wants, because whatever that she has brought, I know we need.
Mm.
So it was that thing that it's there. When we come, they know whatever that we bring is something that they will benefit out of.
Mm.
even at their workspaces, whether it's an audit risk or whatever, whenever we bring it, when we bring it to you, it helps out. So it's that thing that keeps people wanting to come back because they have trusted the business that we have, that we have given to them.
Yeah.
And we have actually had referrals as well. That when someone says, our company, or maybe they're chatting wherever they meet, and then they say, you know what, we're looking for a training. Our accountants need to be trained on IFRS. They need to be trained on bookkeeping or whatever. And then someone says, no, there is a company that does our trainings. And then the following day, you'll hear someone calling you. I had a chat with someone. They said you can help us. So that's how I have managed even to increase the database and to keep those that I have over the years.
Word of mouth is always everything. A satisfied company, a satisfied customer is your biggest billboard.
Yes, it is. It is because they will tell each other. And like just today, I was talking to one of my clients about a program that is coming up. And I was like, you know what? My numbers are not doing very well. And I need to have good numbers. And guess what the person says? He says to me, you know what? There's one of the trainings that I found. I had a friend that I got from there. Now we're very good friends from another organization. Let me call him and tell him, and I will send him the papers and tell him, let's go together. So it's those things that when you do a good work, it's the, like you say, it's the biggest billboard because at times I don't have to do the work. My work does, my projects actually. Then make other people to tell other people about that. And then those people come, when they come, they tell other people and the numbers keep on growing.
Walk us through the, and I know you said the first one that you did was one of your best. What is one where you felt like you're, maybe that wasn't so great. What about it made it less satisfactory to you and your standards?
I would say the one that really didn't do well for me was when I tried to do one for PAs. That one was one of my lowest, actually, and I swore I would never do PAs again. I swore I would never do PAs again because they came and they had so many demands. We want this, we want this, we're thinking this, and we were thinking that. And at the end of the day, it was that thing where I was like, you know what, I am okay dealing with other professions rather than this one. So I think that was my lowest because even I think, yeah, I didn't, we didn't even make much out of it.
I hear you. Entrepreneurship.
But I would like to try the PAs again because it will be like, this time it will be like 10 years later.
Yes.
10 years later, I'm like, I know I can't fail.
Yeah.
You know, I need to go back and see that I can deal with these people.
Yes. It was just a little bit of a glitch. You know, you're still finding your feet.
Just a glitch. And I think we can actually make it.
Brenda. In all truth, entrepreneurship often carries personal costs. How has being an entrepreneur affected your personal life or your family life? And how do you balance it? And I don't want you to hear this question like a lot of women are asked, right? How do you balance it all? Family life. But the truth is entrepreneurship does come at a cost, whether you are a man or a woman. So what have been those costs for you? How has it affected your personal life and your family life?
Well, I would say nothing much has been affected because I am one of those blessed people, I would say, or to gloat about it. I work with my husband. So it makes things balance somehow. And when I can't run around, he's there to do the running around. When I need to be taken somewhere, I know he is there. I'll be doing something and he can take me there. And when we have to travel, because we travel a lot, I get an opportunity to travel with him. So it's basically, it's work, but we have time to be away, reconnect, because we're away, we're in nature, and everything. We've got time without anyone coming to cry and say, mommy, mommy, daddy. So we have like 4 days, we're at work, we are together, and even when I'm there, when I say not today, I'd want to wake up and go and start the program, and she'll be like, no, let me go and start the program. So it's a bit balanced, and it's working to our advantage, working together. Yeah.
And how is working with your husband? Because that can either make or break a relationship or a marriage, eh?
Yeah, it works. There are days when he, you know how husbands are like.
I don't know, Brenda. I'm not married. I don't have a husband.
Okay, let me tell you this one. Let me tell you the one that I'm there. You know how they want to make sense. They always want to make sense, and then I don't want to make sense at that point.
Yes.
So we end up not disagreeing or raising voices and everything, but we go back to our normal spaces because. He knows my stronghold, and I know his stronghold.
That's good.
Like, even when someone asks him, we want to do something like this, he's quick to say, no, my wife will give you a call because she's the one who is able to answer that.
Love that.
So it does affect at times, yes, because I'll be wanting my thing to be done like this, and he's coming with that men logic, you know, the men logic. No, it's easier. It will be better off when you do it this way. And at some point, you don't want to agree and say, ah, no, but it's a point. But you still want to say no. So, yeah, it's good. It's up and downs. But I think we do work very well because I know his strengths. He knows my strengths. He knows this. If she says this when she is here, we have to run with that because that's an area of expertise.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is there's an understanding of what the one is good at and what the other is good at. And not even that, but an understanding of each other, because I think that really goes a long way.
It does. Yeah. It does. It has helped us a lot because I know when it comes to doing his parts, running the finances and everything, and administration and all those things, he's best at that. I don't even interfere with what he does on that end. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
What motivates you, especially on the days when training feels repetitive or when the business pressures weigh heavily on you? What is the thing that gets you out of bed?
What motivates me usually is I want to see my work going through and finishing. I hate starting things that I don't get to finish, and I usually get so frustrated. So I motivate myself and say, I need to do this. I need to make it work because I hate failing. I hate that I tried to do this and I failed doing it. It haunts me. Yeah. So I try to self-motivate.
Sure. And I heard earlier you say that how you get new ideas is basically staying ahead of trends, right? And skills development, responding to changing demands and innovation. And what do you think, apart from the fact research is research, anyone can do research. What about your research approach, perhaps, and maybe even your presentation style makes you and ESD the company to go back to every time?
I think on the research side, like I said earlier, it's just making sure that I know what's trending at the moment.
Yeah.
And I work with that. And usually when it's something that is trending, we can have one program as a trial. And then the demand comes after that. Because some would say, no, we want our, some of our staff to learn what we have learned. So may you please redo the program.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah.
And what were some of the things that you expected when you started out? And how different were they from reality? Perhaps with the entrepreneurship, in the, and I know you were in the space of training before you went your own way. But what are some expectations versus reality things that came up for you?
I think I haven't really had a lot of those. I haven't had a lot of those because besides facing difficult clients, some of the things I would say it was easy to do, and knowing what to do and when to do it, it helped a lot. And I had a lot less of not satisfactory times.
Yeah. And if you could start your business over, knowing everything you know now, what would you do differently? And maybe what advice would you give your younger entrepreneur self 11 years ago?
I will take this extra serious.
Oh.
Extra serious. I will be so, there's a word that they use. I'm trying to think of it. Someone who's so pushy, you know. I'll push even more, and I will not rest till I get what I want. Go places that I am still even not sure I should get into. Now, there are some places that I still think, I don't think I am able to get into that space. But my young self, I will tell myself, girl, you can do this. You can go anywhere because you managed to see, to get into offices that no one could get in easily before. And which means I can still go even further to even those that are even scarier than the ones that I had gone through that I thought were actually hard. So I will make sure that I work extra hard, do better with my clients, do more programs that are more, even bigger programs, because to this day, I don't want to do big, big programs because I'm like, that's so much work for me. And I think with the young self, I will tell yourself, Brenda, you can handle a program that has 200 people, so you got this.
What has been your favorite program? Not the first one. You can't go back to the first one, but the one where you were just yo, Aisha, if we can do that over and over and over again, I'd be very happy.
I think I have enjoyed forensic accounting.
Okay.
Forensic accounting. I think we'd always had forensic auditing and so forth. But when the time when we did forensic accounting, it was so amazing to learn a lot of things, because I was actually talking to some of my friends yesterday when I was telling them, do you know when there's a crime that has been committed at work, when the forensic accounting accountants or auditors come, they can actually tell who did the crime from your birth month. So it was eye-opening, the forensic accounting. And then the other one that I found interesting as well was enterprise risk management. And now my favorite is sustainability reporting, because it's new. So every day we're being updated about what's happening in the world, the taxes that we're now supposed to pay. So it's continuous learning for me, even if it's for the clients. When I sit in there and as I'm listening, I'm like, okay, so this is what is happening in the world. Mm. So yeah, those have been outstanding for me. Yeah. Those have been outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those three, actually, I could do them over and over again.
Mm. ESD 2034. What does it look like?
I think it will be a big name by then.
Yeah.
I think it will be known in places that I didn't even think it will be known. And it will be that brand name that will be known not only in Zimbabwe, but in surrounding countries as well. That when we mention ESD, they know that, oh, it's those guys.
And our final question, and this one is for our listeners. What final words of wisdom would you like to leave with someone who's listening tonight who wants to follow your path?
This is doable. And with God by your side, you can do more than you think you can do. And constantly submit your work to Him. And you tell Him, Lord, I am here. It's not because I can. It's because you made it possible. And what I have started, please help me finish. And He always comes through.
Yeah,
I have seen Him come through for me. I'm one of those people that when people talk to me, though, when I complain about something, they're like, ah, Mari, God has always come through for you.
Yeah, you're God's favorite girl.
God, they have seen what God can do through my work, because I can cry today and say, you know what, my work is so hard, things are not moving, things are not working, and then the next week I tell them, I've gone through my program, it came through. So it has been a testimony even for those that are around us, because they have seen what He can do. Even for our clients as well. What we do when we go for our programs, we do not start without having a devotion. Whatever, wherever we go, we are known by we're known by having a special devotion. And we have had a lot of people asking after that, what verse was that you gave us? So we even preach to the world. And they might not even be from the same denomination as us, but they know the God that we worship.
Oh, man, what I'm picking up from everything you've said, of perhaps the biggest lesson for me, is there's so much virtue and value in finishing what you start. You know, we can all have amazing ideas. We can all want to do things and actually start them and try run with them. But the real test of, and I don't even know what that thing is, but there's really so much virtue and value and honor and integrity in finishing the thing that you start. And I think that is what will stand tall and high for me from this conversation, that the success you are enjoying is because you don't leave things undone, whether they are hard or they don't look appealing anymore. Because you started it, you will finish it. And it's really a trait, like our Jesus. There is a verse, I think it's in Luke, that He who started a good work in us will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ.
That's the confidence we have in Him.
He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So He's a man who finishes. And if there's anything to learn.
So we can't start something. Can't start something and leave it undone.
Yeah.
And leave people with questions. Who are those people? But because we get to finish. And we get to tell them as well, to get an opportunity to tell them about the God above. So I think it's really out there. And His word is going even further through the trainings that we have. It's not only IFRS that you come and get updated on. You get to come out learning one extra verse that you didn't even know existed in the Bible, but you come out and you know, as you hear a story from the Bible that you didn't even know about it.
This was such a delight. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for the journey that you are walking that is so inspirational to all of us. ESD to the world.
Yes, thank you so much for me.
Cheers. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Same to you.
And with that, I am Nompumelelo Lombonani, and I hope that you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.